Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Tuesday morning in New York City, 6 o'clock on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming in live from the Built Ford Tough Studio, it is the Boomer and Geo program. Of course, if you are hearing my voice, that means Geo's not here. That means Boomer's likely not here. So instead, sitting with me for the next 4 hours from, if you're familiar with her work, SNY, from Sirius XM, MLB Radio, ESPN, blah, 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 blah. Danny Wexelman. Danny, good morning. How are you?
That's sometimes how I think of all the things that I'm doing, too. I'm like, you can just stop. It's okay. Just stop at the top. Just say my name. I appreciate that. Well, I'm so stoked to be here, by the way.
That's good.
With you.
I'm glad to have you here, yeah. As a matter of fact. And I will promise you at this point, that's it for where you're from for the next four. But although, at some point, probably later this hour, because I know Al is very interested in this, we will kind of go over your odd path. Okay. To where you've been, because I know as soon as I told him you were coming in, the first thing was, how did she get there? And so at some point, probably later in this hour, we will tell Al and everybody how you got there and how you are now here. So that's kind of cool. So we'll do it for the next 4 hours.
Okay.
And we've got like a million different things we're going to get to. The guys are golfing today, so we won't hear from Boomer or Geo. And that's fine. Hopefully they have a good day for Boomer's Foundation. But I thought, so there's a lot of different ways to go today, because you've got, you know, the Aaron Rodgers stuff in Pittsburgh. At some point, we'll do that. The Nick thing, which to me is bizarre, we will get to that at some point this morning as well. But I was thinking about this when I was driving home yesterday, and I thought it was perfect given the fact that your track record really is stoked in baseball, which is great. And I was thinking we were talking about how the Mets are 4.5 games up. The Yankees are 4.5 games up. The Mets have this rich owner. They've got Juan Soto. They're winning games like they're supposed to. The Yankees have, you know, really pivoted since Juan Soto. They're playing great. And I was trying to think of the last time we had this type of feeling about these two baseball teams that have serious World Series aspirations. And it's not a farce. Like, you could make every case. If you placed a bet in Vegas right now about a Met-Yankee World Series, it's realistic, and it's kind of neat. And there's not many years, if you go back, maybe you want to say 2016 because the Mets came off the World Series. But when you think about all these years that we've watched baseball, we are in, I think, a great time going into what should be a blast of a summer.
Yeah, this is like a golden age. And I'm a transplant, right? I moved to New York 11 years ago. So I am not growing up in this rivalry. I'm not growing up in big brother, little brother. Like, I'm not growing up in it, but I definitely was able to kind of immerse myself over the last decade, understanding where rivalries lie. Who cares about what? If you live here, then you care about this team, right? And for both of these teams right now to be peaking in this way because of how they've been built, like, one, give Brian Cashman a ton of credit, right? He has been through the ringer and back again. So I give him a ton of credit of what he's been building and how he spent money in this offseason, even if Garrett Cole went down. And then for the Mets to really turn a leaf. I think my favorite thing about Mets fans is the other shoe's always falling, right? You never are okay with what's happening. You're like, I know something bad is going to happen. And Steve Cohen, the owner, has done a marvelous job. The best job that he's done is hiring David Stearns. You hired one of the best minds, the best young minds in all of baseball to construct your team. It is a blank check, right? You get a blank check to sign whoever you want, and he hasn't even abused that,
no.
Right? He's been really smart. And so for both of these teams to be clicking right now, this is a huge deal for New York in general, but for baseball. When both these teams are good, it's good for baseball.
It is. And, you know, one of the things that over the years, Al and I do the 5 to 6 every day, and we have for years. And prior to that, it was a little shorter. But we've also done a podcast together for 10, 12 years now. And one of the things he's always talked about, and for a while I was, you know what, if you like baseball, you watch it anyway. But when you see it the other way, he's so right in that a packed stadium, when you put it on, feels different. When you go into a packed stadium to watch a game, it feels different. Now, I was always of the type that even in the lean years in 2012 and 2011, I was still watching. But there is something to turning on, whether it's SNY or YES, and seeing no one behind home plate. And we are right now, when you look at the attendance of these two teams, like the Mets are average. They're averaging 39,000 per game in a 41,000 seat stadium. It's pretty cool. When you turn a game on, it feels like an event. The Yankees have been, think about this. The Yankees lost Juan Soto. Sure, they got Max Fried, but some of the other moves, people are like, eh, is this going to work? Is it not going to work? Are they going to take a couple steps back? And not only has it worked so far, and there's a long way to go, but the fans have bought into where they've got 48, 49, 50,000 people. That are, like you are having almost between 40 and 50,000 people going to these games every single night, which is why you could make the case that these two teams could be on a collision course in October. Long way to go, I get it. But it just, there's a feeling about these two teams that I don't know other than in 2000 that I've had in, it's got to be 20 years. It has to be.
Well, there was a chance of a Subway Series last year. There was a glimmer. But, there were conversations.
But not at this point. So you're right.
Yeah.
When we got through, when the Mets got hot, there was that feeling of maybe.
Yeah.
I'm talking about as we sit here on June 9th. Last year, June 9th, people were still writing this Met team off as trash. They were garbage. And who are we selling off? And then all of a sudden, things picked up. I guess my point is I'm sitting here. Summer hasn't begun yet. And you really have this feeling of two great teams.
What do you mean summer hasn't started? I've been sweating for weeks.
Summer sucks around
I've been
here.
Sweating for weeks in New York City, especially under the subway. But let me say this too. The league, so I got my start at MLB.com. And so I was editing highlights. I was producing and editing game highlights. And the league was just starting to figure out that they needed to market their players. The NBA does the best at that, right?
Sure.
They're the best of the big four. The NFL does a really good job too. But the NBA, I think the Twitter following, the millions that they have, outdoes every other league, but baseball figured it out. And the reason that those stands are packed, not only because the product is really dang good, is because they know who these guys are.
True.
Right? Aaron Judge has a personality. You didn't know it, but now you know it. They go out and they get Jazz. Like Jazz to me, like what he does and how he just injects that energy into this team, those guys feed off of that. I covered Anthony Volpe in high school. I've known Anthony Volpe and his family for a long time, right? Anthony Volpe has always been a quieter kid. Same with Bobby Witt Jr. They're cut from the same kind of cloth. They're superstars, but they don't really care if they're front-facing. Jazz brings that out, right? Jazz pulls that from his team. There's going to be other guys for that younger generation, but that's why, because Francisco Lindor, you're seeing his family, right? You're seeing his children. So you feel connected. When you feel like you know them and you know them as a person, you're going to want to go watch them and sit in that seat. And even if you don't really know everything about them, you're like, dang, I just saw that Instagram clip. Maybe they engaged with you. Maybe they liked you. I don't know. Like, but that is the difference right now. The league's done a really good job.
Yeah. And so now you bring it back to to play on the field. And, you know, what Alonso's done so far is remarkable. You know, he's funny because last year we were talking, I mean, the entire summer was all about, are the Mets going to re-sign him? Are they not going to re-sign him? And then he goes and he has this terrible year. And you really felt like the weight of the world was on his shoulders. And now this year, here we are. It's June 10th. And he has got whatever it is, 17, 18 home runs. He's leading the big, not the National League. He's leading Major League Baseball in RBIs. He's been a major run producer. And, you know, you sit there and wonder, is it the, you could make the case like the presence of Juan Soto would make him tighter from the standpoint of he feels like he has to perform because Soto's here. We also have the notion of Soto making all this money. He's on a one-year deal. Why wouldn't he be nervous and anxious again? And yet it has taken off in a completely different direction. Francisco Lindor, and then this goes to the way the team is built, I guess, Francisco Lindor breaks his toe. Most guys in Major League Baseball, no disrespect, but most guys take a month off.
Yeah.
And then they got to go to the minor leagues and get this guy takes a game and a half off, and he's like, put me back in the lineup. There's just a sense of this team that they're a bunch of gamers. For the Soto plays every day. Alonso plays every day. That you feel really good about the group. And, oh, by the way, they've got all this young talent coming up, which I don't know the last time we've said that. If you go back to, of course, the pitching, which sort of worked out with Harvey and DeGrom and Syndergaard, yeah. Not as well as it could have. Wheeler should still be here, but that's a story for another time. It just seems like they are and both teams, and I'll talk about the Yankees in a second, but it just seems like they're a well-put-together group that seems to enjoy each other, and it is certainly panning out on the field.
I'm glad you brought up the toe. Let's talk about the toe for a second. I think this is always fascinating. I think back to Aaron Judge, right, when he
in
hurt
LA.
He hurt his toe. People don't realize, and I think like men in general, they're not thinking about their feet. Maybe, you know, women go get pedicures. Women are thinking about all of those things. Like, toes are important. Toes are more important than people realize to everything that you do with your equilibrium and your balance and your body. They literally control everything. So for Lindor to have a broken toe and to be gutting it out, which is probably what he's going to do for the rest of the season, it's not going to be fully healed. Like, I'm so glad you brought up the toes, because I think it is so funny to talk about with these guys. But the smallest toe is the biggest deal, and people need to recognize that. Lindor's my number one most important guy on the Mets. He ranks one for me. Pete is two, and Soto is three. And I think that without Soto, I still think Pete would be on this rampage, because he worked so hard in the offseason to fix his hips and to fix his swing and to feel like he can drive the ball more. Like, the numbers are astounding, right? You mentioned just like those ancillary stats, but if you think about, like, if you look at Baseball Savant, if you're a big baseball nerd, it's all red. A big nerd? Are you a nerd? You're a big baseball nerd. I know you are.
Yes, to a certain degree. I don't get too deep into this stuff. I'm more of the 80s and 90s baseball guy, where to me, batting average still actually matters. I love batting average. Right, but now a lot of people will tell you batting average doesn't matter. It's about OPS.
Yeah.
And run per, sure, I'm into batting average, RBIs, and runs scored, because I think that's how you win games.
Yeah.
By hitting the ball and scoring runs. But if you want to get into Baseball Savant, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I'll keep it really simple. So he hits the ball really dang hard. Mm-hmm. He's one of the best to do it, along with Aaron Judge, right? And he hits it really far. So those two things combined. So I kept it simple.
Is that barreled up balls?
Yeah, look at you. Barrels, because
Brandon Tierney in the midday is a baseball savant, if you will, and he loves the statistics.
Yeah.
To where I think even Eddie's pulled some of his diatribes on how well some guys have done with the numbers and I understand what he's doing. It's kind of like when Juan Soto was struggling, and he has. He's batting, like 245 or something, which is not what you're paying him $50 million for. But when you actually do look a little deeper, you see that he is hitting the ball on the screws. He's hit into a lot of bad luck, hitting it right at guys. So, yes, you can dig deep. Most of us want results, though, where you don't care about that stuff.
Were you stressed about Soto in the beginning?
No, because I will always point back to Lindor. Lindor was, like, awful his first year here. And the fans, I don't want to say they wanted him out, but I think the fans were annoyed that he came here, was given a 10-year contract, and struggled. And you got to remember, too, especially since you didn't grow up here, you know, we had Robbie Alomar here. When Robbie Alomar was brought here, it was like the Mets got a Hall of Famer, and this is amazing. And that did not turn out to be the case. The Mets had Bobby Bonilla here. They're still paying him for a very lackluster career. Like, the Met fan has been beaten over the head by big Jason Bay. Yeah. Now, you would think Jason Bay, he performed in Boston. He can handle the big market. Jason Bay couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag here. It was really bad. So I think the Met fan has seen really good players come here to die.
Yeah.
And then when Lindor comes here and struggles the way he did, and then to turn it around. So I think that gives you some peace of mind that Soto's here. He's going to be here. And I also hearken back to his year in San Diego. Not great, but what did he do with the Yankees? So it's in there. It's just a matter of kind of finding it. And you're starting to see it, I think, you know, game by game. He's really starting to be more of a producer at the plate than he was early on.
I'll be honest. I think the body language has been pretty bad. Like, the first couple of months with this new team and with his new home, the body language has been bad. And I think it's been widely documented.
Sure.
Right? You can see it. And that's unfortunate because he's 26 years old. And that's the argument that I'll continue to make, is that when you're 26 years old and you've played on four teams in 4 years and your family is helping drive decisions, big decisions in your life that you make, I think it's really hard to feel settled, and it's hard to feel like you can contribute right away, even if you've really done it all in your career, right? He's won a World Series. He's done almost everything that you can do. Maybe the MVP is still on his list, but I think that it's going to take him a second to settle in. The shuffle, to me, was the most important thing. I know Sal's talked about that, too. Like, if you are a fan of the game and you notice, like, imagine this. Like, you're doing the same thing every day. Your muscle memory. Every time you get nervous, whatever your tick is, or every time you feel confident and you do a little fist bump or whatever it is, your body knows to do that. For him to just shut the shuffle off is insane to me, because it's muscle memory, and he wasn't locked in, or he wasn't feeling it, or there's something that was off with him. And now that he's doing it again, like, I do think the tides have turned, but the body language was definitely off. And I didn't like that. Like, when you're not playing well or you're having a bad day, you got to show up. You got to put your face on, right? That's what we always talk about. Put your face on and get ready to go. And so it's a Derek Jeter. You don't know if I'm having a good or bad day. You knew when Juan Soto was having a bad day. And he's 26. So I try to give him the benefit of the doubt, but he's been there and done that. He's been in the league for what, seven, eight years? Like, he's been here
19.
He's been here for a long time. So I didn't like seeing that. I thought that was kind of lame, because you're in New York and you're with a really good team that has postseason aspirations. You got to kind of, you got to strap up, buddy, and wear it and get on.
That's why in L.A., when he was doing the bottle flip, that was such a big deal. Like, yeah. Oh, look, he's having fun with his teammates. Yeah. He actually does like them, which I thought he didn't. It's funny, though, with him, because you talk about the big moment, and I do believe, I heard McMonagle say something driving in, and he's so right about it, good or bad. If he goes through the regular season, and let's say he winds up batting 260, he hits 24 home runs, drives in 80 runs. It's very so-so, especially for what he's being paid. And then you get into October, and all of a sudden you get an October like he gave the Yankees last year. You think any Met fan is going to remember that he struggled in April and May and June?
Absolutely not.
Not a chance. Yeah. Because look at Alonso. I mean, Alonso is basically back because, A, the fans wanted him, and they made that very clear at that event at Citi Field.
Yes, they did.
But what did he do in October in Milwaukee against Philadelphia? Like, he had a really good October, and it was kind of like, you know what? You might have struggled, but, boy, you showed up in the biggest moments.
And it's the same with Lindor, right? His defense has been a little off this year, but his offense has risen to the occasion. By the way, that guy better be an all-star, or our league is flipped upside down. It's time to make him an all-star, right? He absolutely deserves it. But there's been some oddities to the defense, which is very off-brand for him. And because the bat has been so good, and he's really found his stride in that leadoff spot, you're kind of like, all right, like, I can see past it. I hope that it gets figured out, because that won't fly in the postseason. But you kind of look past it when the bats come up in big moments.
I think you're right. But I also think the fact that his wife was having the baby, that he is so sure-handed there that I really do think that's kind of behind him now.
Yeah.
That the Alonso thing, tossing the first base, I'm not so sure about. And the throw home could get in his head, I suppose.
Well, he's not being paid to be a Gold Glove defender. Well,
no, but, you know, for the first several years of his career, everyone labeled him as like this bad first baseman. And, you know, I would watch, and he was getting better and better. And, you know, last year, I really thought he turned himself into one of the better first basemans. And even this year, he's made some great plays, but God, he's made some bad throws.
You know what? The throws aside, I will say, so because the shift is gone now, he's playing more of a second base role. If you really look at how the field is laid out, like, he's playing a little closer to the second base bag. He's covering more ground. That's why he's making those diving plays. And that, to me, has stood out. Like, he is going all out for this team. Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve, and this guy wants it bad. Like, who knows if he'll be back? This might be it, right?
Might be.
He has an opt-out after this year. He might not be back. He might say, you know what? I want to get paid. You guys really didn't give me what I was looking for, and I'm going to go and get paid. Somebody would probably pay him after this year.
Well, if he goes 50 and 140, someone's paying him.
Someone's going to pay him.
There's no question about it.
For sure. But that part of his game has definitely improved. But this is, like, when I go to the clubhouse, when I see him on the field pregame, like, he looks chill. Like, he looks like he is, like, I got this.
Were you there last year? Like, did you see him last year when he was struggling?
Yeah, but
look different?
Maybe a little, but not a ton. He definitely is not going to show you or change his tone or anything, but you can see there's a little glimmer in his eyes this year. It does look different.
It's working. Yeah. That's where the glimmer comes from. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get CeeLo in.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In here.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us on a Tuesday morning. It is myself and Danny Wexelman in Built Ford Tough Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. The guys are off golfing today. Happy birthday to Geo. I know Eddie doesn't care, but as a show, we should wish him a happy birthday as he turns 40-something. So 888-808-1019 is the number. We'll get to calls later, but right now, Chris LeBret, what's up, CeeLo? How
are
you doing,
good morning.
Man?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let me set up the baseball locals for tonight after they had Monday off, of course. Yanks will begin a six-game road trip through Kansas City and Boston, first of three with the Royals this evening. We got pregame coverage 7:10 here on the Fan and the Free Odyssey app. Good pitching matchup. Max Fried and 25-year-old rookie left-hander Noah Cameron. How about this for the start of a big league career? 5 starts, 2-1 with a .85 ERA and a whip that's even lower. You know, he's completed at least 6 innings in each start.
And maybe he'll throw great today, especially I guess the Yankees probably haven't seen him yet. But every time the Yankees play the Royals, it's like, eh.
True.
As good as, like, even when Seth Lugo last year came into Yankee Stadium with an ERA of, like, you know, 1.5,
yeah,
the Yankees handled him no problem. And, you know, but we'll see.
Well, this guy's off to a good start, and you're right. We'll see if he can do the same against the Yankees tonight. I'll get to the Mets in a minute. Yanks will begin the night with a 4-game lead atop the division with the Blue Jays and the Rays. They're now tied for second place after Tampa Bay beat the Red Sox at Fenway Park Monday 10-8 in 11 innings. I don't know if you guys saw any of this. There were some questionable ball strike calls that went against Boston.
Shocking.
Late in the game. You also had the big league debut of one of the top prospects in the game. That was 21-year-old Roman Anthony, who went 0-for-4 with a walk, a strikeout, an RBI, and an unfortunate play for him in right field where he overran a ball right under his glove and led to a run. So that was a little uncomfortable for him, but, you know, it's the first of many that he will hopefully play for them up there in Boston. The Mets are down in D.C. to visit the Nationals. Griffin Canning opposed by Mackenzie Gore. That's a 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Mets 4 games clear of the Phillies, who did finally snap their 5-game losing streak with an 11-inning home win over the first-place Cubs.
He kicks in the pitch. Swing and a drive. Center field and deep. Crow Armstrong going after it. It won't matter. It lands at the base of the wall. JT is home to score. And the Phillies have won it.
That's Phillies radio. Brandon Marsh with the game winner. Bottom 11, 4-3, the final score there. And the Braves also won 7-1 over the Brewers in Milwaukee to snap their 7-game skid.
Yeah, it's funny because they were both, it was 5-7 for the two teams. And you're thinking the Mets are off. They'll probably pick up another half game on these teams. And the fact that they're playing the Cubs and the Brewers, you figure take care of business with the Nationals and you can really extend this lead. And they both win.
That's right.
That's baseball.
There you go. A couple of other highlights from the Monday baseball action in Anaheim. This Denzel Clark with his latest acrobatic, outrageous catch.
Now the 1-0 pitch to Nolan Schanuel, left-handed hitter, fly ball left center. Denzel going back, nearing the track, at the track, right to the wall, leaping, climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
Wow. Are you kidding?
You can't believe what this kid is doing in center field.
Yeah.
He got himself suspended on top of the wall and brought it back for out number two.
That is Griffey and Bo Jackson-like.
I mean, it's as good as you'll see.
That's awesome.
Really. And there's a great still shot of him, like the guy just said on A's radio, basically hanging on the top of the wall so that he doesn't flip over with the ball in his glove.
Wow.
Incredible play, though. The Angels did end up winning that game 7-4. That was in the bottom of the first, so quite the electric start.
I would say so.
To that game out there last night. Here was Clark talking about it afterwards. A little understated, probably because they lost the game, but kind of very matter of fact about it.
Just timed it up. I found my distance between the wall. Just did what the ball told me to do. Just go up there and get it.
Gotta listen to the ball. Go up there and get it. That's what he did.
I know they make it look easy, but that is so difficult. I mean, and watching Major League Baseball on a night-to-night basis, I get it. They make double plays look routine and simple. You see a lot of the flips from the glove to the bare hand and the throws. But plays like this, to A, be able to track it, B, to be able to find the wall, C, to climb the wall and still find the lights.
And then not flip over it with
amazing.
All the momentum. And he was the guy that made the play, I think, last week where he crashed into the wall and somehow held on to the ball going into left center field.
Incredible.
And it looked like one of those plays where he had to have been injured or concussion.
Yeah.
And
here he is. Yeah.
So
that's
incredible.
Pretty good. That could be play of the year.
I would think so.
I know it's against the Angels. It probably doesn't matter all that much, but just on a sheer play basis, that might be the best play of the season.
He reaches way over the wall.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Incredible. Lastly, interleague action in Phoenix. Mariners and Diamondbacks tied at 4 in the 11th. Bases loaded for Arizona's Josh Naylor.
The pitch, swing, high fly ball, deep right field, can zone, back. This is gone! Walk it off! A grand slam for Naylor! A game saver!
Diamondbacks radio, and when I tell you one of the slowest home run shots you'll ever, I mean, it started as a walk. I mean, that ball was in the stands, and he wasn't even halfway down the first baseline. And even the trot after that was just very slow, methodical. Even when he got to home plate, they were ready to celebrate him, but he was sort of just like, okay, whatever. 8-4 for the Diamondbacks over Seattle. So some interesting games that went on last night, even though we had nothing going on here with the locals. Off night for the NBA Finals to the NHL on center stage, with Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final and the defending champion Panthers back on home ice. Certainly had their way with the visiting Oilers.
A breakaway, Luostarinen hands it on, Bennett scores! Top shelf and the Panthers take a 4-1 lead with 12:34 to go here in the second. What a shift for playoff Sam! The Panthers lead by a trio!
It's an excited Panthers radio now.
It was a mouthful.
That highlight picked it up from the breakaway. That's what we're seeing on TV, but in the defensive zone, he laid out a couple of Edmonton players.
Is that where all the fights came from later because of the...
I wouldn't say specifically that play. I think it was the Oilers were getting spanked, and they decided, we're going to try and let you know, we're going to be there for game four. And then, the Panthers said, we're going to beat you on the scoreboard and in the battle of wills. So they ended up about 140 penalty minutes between the two teams in a 6-1 Panthers win, and you get a look at some of it now. A lot of slashes and, you know, face washing. There was a sort of an all line brawl at one point there about
midway through the third
period. Yeah. So Yeah, I think that's just Edmonton trying to let them know that they're not going to just stand down for game four. But the defending champs certainly have the upper hand right now, and the series lead 2-1. 14 goals for Bennett now in these playoffs. He's an impending free agent, so TNT wanted to talk to Panthers head coach Paul Maurice about that a bit during their in-game interview with him shortly after the goal we just heard, and here was part of that exchange.
Well, he's so good all over the ice, but he doesn't cheat the game for the two goals. Right? He's under pucks and does all the hard right things, and that's just who he is.
I don't think his agent's going to have to work that hard this summer, but I'll move on.
A horrible attitude. I think he's got bubonic plague.
I see what you're doing.
Denang fever. He's got a whole bunch of things. We're not sure he can be cured.
And that's what makes Maurice great. He's sort of got that dry, deadpan response. He did something similar before the game. They were asking him about Barkov and how he only had 1 point in the series so far. And he's just like, yeah, we're going to trade him. You know, so he's having fun.
It's funny. Before you played that, I thought it was going to go the other way. Like, you're asking me about free agency now when we're in the middle of a game, but that's actually light.
He's pretty
and fun.
Good. He's pretty good at handling such matters on the fly. It does help when your team's winning the game comfortably.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly how it went for them last night. Multiple stories, but specifically the New York Post confirming this mutual interest between the Knicks.
All right.
You're not interested in this.
No. And we're going to talk about it coming up in a little while. But the idea, he got a mutual interest. I can't in my right mind wrap my head around the fact that the Mavericks are going to be like, yeah, go ahead. I just don't see it. But we'll see.
Well, I would imagine there'd have to be compensation attached if they're going to go through with that.
Nico Harrison is the most hated man in the state of Texas right now.
Okay.
Sports-wise.
But he's got Cooper Flagg coming his
way. I understand. So. I get it. But then now all of a sudden, we'll talk about it. But yeah, we'll see.
Did you see Stephen A. Smith's comments about wanting Mark Jackson to get the Knicks job?
I did not.
All right. So he said, quote, "This man was responsible for building Golden State before Steve Kerr was brought in and took over and piggybacked off of that."
Oh.
Now, Mark Jackson certainly was a part of, became of the Warriors, but with his ouster, they really hadn't had any playoff success. And then Kerr came in and the dynasty was born. So it seemed a little unfair to Steve Kerr the way in which that was positioned.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the same way people would say Phil Jackson, you know, didn't build the Bulls. He had Michael Jordan. They say the same thing with Kerr, with Steph Curry, and he had Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond
Green. Maybe didn't build them, but as far as taking them to the next level and being able
to have
the success.
There's still people that say the Yankees were great because of Buck, not because of Joe Torre. So that's not
true.
You know, it's kind of very similar.
Fair enough. Just a little college baseball note for you. Murray State beat Duke 5-4 in a winner-take-all championship game in the Durham Super Regional to advance to the Men's College World Series. I saw a cool nugget on them. Let me see here if I have it.
If someone right now turned on the TV and said, look at Al, Eddie, CeeLo, Jerry, and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
There's one person in this room that actually watched the college baseball game last night. Pick which one.
I know which one.
Oh, so do I.
Yes.
This
but
one.
But what I wanted to bring up is they were talking about how Murray State is one of this, you know, these great stories that they play in a stadium, a field that holds like 800 people,
mm-hmm.
and the head coach cuts the grass himself there.
Wow.
And now they're
Dan Skarka.
College
That's
World
Dan
Series.
Skarka,
there you go. And you got a number of number four seeds that made it this year. So a lot of kind of unheralded programs or teams that weren't expected to get there.
Did you see the video of the maintenance crew at Oakmont? You had to.
You're talking about the local barbers that were given a fade to the fringe?
Yes, I did see that, but I mean the crew, they have walking mowers.
Okay.
And they go kind of like, you know when they drag the field in unison at the major league stadiums,
sure.
There are like four or five of them and they all go at the same time?
Like a Yankee stadium, they do the YMCA.
Yes. So this is like 24 guys, 25 guys with hand mowers walking at the same pace in stride. And at one point, they show you around the bunkers. One guy's got to hold the mower up with his hand, right hand, left hand up on the top side as he's, because it's, you know, basically downhill.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
The place is in ridiculous.
Pristine.
Yeah. Now, well, there's been a lot of talk about the rough, obviously.
Of course.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, forget them showing where the balls. You've seen some of the swings these guys
have
taken.
Seen.
I mean, having a hard time.
Some of the balls going sideways,
the ball.
Right under.
So,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting. Some of the it's cool in this day and age that a lot of the players will take to social media and give sort of like a behind the scenes look on what it's really like. And a lot of them are saying how this is the hardest course they've ever played or seen. So
hit the fairway.
Should be interesting. And real quick, you got Jets mandatory minicamp getting underway today. First of three sessions. The Giants will be next week. So we'll keep an eye on anything coming out of Florham Park as they get together for their last gathering before training camp begins next month.
Sounds good. That's how close we are to NFL season. All right, Chris, we will see you next hour.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 6:46. It is a Tuesday without Boomer or Geo as they are off golfing today. They'll be back tomorrow morning. So myself, Danny Wexelman, sitting in until 10 o'clock. I get to your calls in a moment, I promise. But I will tell you, so when Al came in the other day, I guess it was Monday, and you know, we got in the emails that you were coming in today for the 4 hours with me. You know, he stopped by his my desk, as he always does, says hello, whatever, and he just looked at me and said, what is exactly that you said? Just how did she get from...
Well, I said, it looks like she was in college, then she worked for ESPN MLB. I go, it's pretty good. How do you get those jobs right out of college?
Because neither one of us would know how to do so.
Correct.
I'm just glad he didn't ask, who's he? Who, Danny, no. Who is he?
He did not.
I'm really glad you didn't do that,
Al. Danny with an I is always a woman.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You're right. My full name is Danielle. I will give my parents credit for that. Yeah. I go by Danny for a long time, since fourth grade when I started playing softball. Mm. But I would like to counter your point. It took me a long time, actually, to get my gig at ESPN. I'm only in my fourth year there, so you must think I'm really young, which I do appreciate, Al. Bonus points for you, my friend, today. You didn't know you were getting those, but you are. I couldn't get a job out of college, actually. I graduated from the University of Missouri, MIZ, for my Tigers out there. And I couldn't get a job because my demo stunk. I had a horrible demo. And I feel like people don't talk about that enough. Like, I was not coming out of college with a tape that was getting me gigs in big markets. My demo was really bad. And I worked hard in college, but not as hard maybe as the rest of my classmates who got gigs in local media. So I stayed at Mizzou for a semester. And then I got a job in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, working for a minor league team, the Harrisburg Senators. That was my first gig out
and
of school.
And you picked up and moved as a 22, 23-year-old and moved to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, actually, yes. And one of my best friends, she's there now. We were interns together. I think they're watching this morning. And we had to be the mascot. So I was a digital and social media intern, but you have to be the mascot. You have to clean the bird poop off handrails. You clean the spider webs out of the bleachers. You have to blow up the inflatables. Wow. You do. I would clean trash out of the suites after games and be chased by bees down the concourse because I'm carrying all the trash with the bees. But the worst part was being the mascot. The social media was awesome. The digital stuff was awesome.
Like in full costume.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you have to. And in Harrisburg, they have three mascots. They have the major one, which is Rascal, the river monster, which you're all looking up right now. You're not going to know it's me, by the way. You wouldn't know if I'm in that. And then Bingo, Bongo, and Steve. Those are the other three mascots. Those are monkeys, if you couldn't tell. And as an intern, you have to go out on appearances, and you dress up in the suit, and you go to schools, you go to Little League games. It's a trip.
So on top of being there and being the intern, they would send you out as part of your responsibility?
Yeah, so like on a Saturday before a game, right? If we're doing like a 7-game homestand, and if you worked in minor leagues, like you get it. Like you're pulling tarp, you bring a change of clothes, like you're using a lot of baby powder. I used a lot of baby powder that summer. My friend Mary Kate and I, we went through bottles of it because it's so hot and disgusting. But yeah, so before the game, you got to go out, and oftentimes I would be in her car, and we would have the suit on without the head. You just bring the head with you, and then you would quickly put it on, and then you would go out, do the appearance. You'd take photos with whatever. You would be jovial to the people there. You'd go to schools, and then you would go back, and you'd work the game. Mm. It is not a glamorous life. So that's how I started, Al, just to let you know. I didn't come out of school and get the big gigs. I just want to put that on the record.
A little bit of a grind.
A lot of a grind. Yeah, I would say so.
It's funny, the Fanatic and right, the San Diego, we looked into this. The San Diego Chicken, like they make a lot of money for appearances.
Yeah, the pro ones, yeah.
Yes, and I would imagine those national, the big heads, the president heads, I would think probably the same thing. But minor league baseball, not so much. Not as glamorous.
No. I mean, they had the real people doing the game mascots. Like, I was not an in-game mascot. Those are serious professionals, right? You got to be trained for that. I was not trained for that. But we did go out on appearances all the time.
So you go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
So I drove to Harrisburg in my little two-door car the last time I had a car.
Who helped you get an apartment? The team did.
The team did help me. So I actually stayed in a building that was close to the ballpark, and I didn't know anybody though. I had no friends. Yeah. I sent out an email to like the group of interns, and I was like, "Hey, does anyone want to get a drink? Does anyone want to meet up before we start this season?" And my friend Mary Kate was the only one who responded. And of course, like you all hang out as interns, but her and I were thick as thieves. And you don't survive the minor leagues without a best friend. You just don't. Like
how
it
many,
is impossible. How long?
Yeah. So did you do that?
I quit early. I don't think many people know that. So I ended up quitting early. I'll tell you why. So there's two reasons. We were close to the end of the season. Somebody called out and they were supposed to be Mrs. Smurf. Okay, this goes back to being a mascot. The person who was supposed to be Mrs. Smurf one night calls out. They have the costume. It's a really small costume. I'm the only one who can fit in it. And so I have to be Mrs. Smurf that night at the game. And men were pretty gross, actually, and making
still
weird
are.
Comments. Still are, right? That hasn't changed. And I just thought it was like a horrific experience. And I ended up quitting a few days later. It was towards the end of the season. There were other things that happened that I don't think are we're sharing right now. Maybe one day I'll share in a book. But the minor leagues aren't a joke. And, you know, there's some cleaning up to be done. I think when it comes to women working in sports still, I'll just leave it at that. And so I decided that was enough for my experience there. I went back home to Missouri. I worked for a home loan company, a Veterans United Home Loans.
You got out.
I got out. Yeah, I specialized. We did media. We did stories on veterans, which was very cool. That's one of the best jobs I've ever had. And I got to kind of mix sports and service, which there's background in my family with that. And then I was like, I gotta get back to sports. And so I reached out to someone who went to Mizzou, Brian Mortensen. And the reason I'm sitting here today, huge reason, is because Mort, first of all, told me what I was going to get when I came to New York. I came in to interview for a job at MLB.com. So this is what they did at MLB.com. They had a facial recognition test. So I had a page of faces of players that I had to recognize. Mm. And then they do like a historical quiz. And so there's like 20 questions.
Like getting a job here.
Yeah. And so I made flashcards because he told me this. He told me what was coming. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have gotten the job. I wouldn't have moved to New York. He tells me all this. I do the editing test and I get the gig. So I moved here 2 weeks later. That was back in 2014.
And now she lives in New York City by herself.
Jerry, how do you think I would have done on that current day baseball facial recognition?
Right, how about this? How about forget facial recognition? Let's do this real quick, Al. If I ask you, I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if he's a Met, a Yankee, a Philly, or a Brave. I'll keep it simple.
All right, perfect. I could do this.
Jared Young.
That's a Met.
Oh.
I saw a homer the other day.
That's what I'm talking about.
I didn't think you would get that.
Go, Al.
So you would pass the test. I don't think you would do well. In fairness, I don't know that a lot of us would do well with that because a lot of us are box score readers.
Yeah.
We are highlight watchers, especially when you get up at 2:30 in the morning. There are very few games that we see, well, they don't watch any of, but that I will
watching.
Watch start to finish.
Totally.
And in a lot of cases, if you don't see it in the highlight, you don't see it.
Yeah.
So I don't know that any of us would really do very well with that.
I made thousands of flashcards because I wanted the job so bad. I wanted to move to New York so bad and get this job and get back into sports. Yeah. Imagine that. And here we are. No regrets. I have no regrets about it. But yeah. So I just want to let you know, Al, it did take me a very long time to get to even have a chance to sit in a seat like this, which, again, I am so grateful for. Jared.
Eddie.
And to be fair, about a week and a half ago, Al and I were like, who the hell is this Jared Young?
and I was with you on that one. I think a lot of people were. So that's you're not off on that. Real quick, Michael in New York. Okay. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Jerry. Danny, how you doing today?
What's up,
great.
Man?
Hey.
I just want to bring up the Mets. They played nobody so far. They played the White Sox, the Rockies, Minnesota when they were garbage, Oakland. Then they played Miami twice.
Played the Cubs, played the Cardinals, did quite well against them. Listen, I think...
Tonight the season starts.
Michael, you're not wrong in that, especially recently with the games against the Rockies and the White Sox. I agree with you. But I also think it's fair to say they did and should have done better, but did split two out in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. They did take care of business with the Cardinals in the season series, and St. Louis is whatever, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 games over 500 and playing well. They showed themselves okay against the Cubs. Like it's not like they've folded against really good teams. They've played relatively well, but they've also, against the bad teams, done what good teams do. They've taken care of business. You know, when you play the Rockies, that is a no-win situation. You are supposed to win those games. And they went out there and not only won them, they won them all, and they bludgeoned them over the weekend in Denver. So that, to me, is a good sign. You're right. The Nationals have been, you look at the NL East, who would have thought the Nationals would be, right behind the Mets and Phillies, but not a great team, but they are there. It does start tonight. You got series coming up with Atlanta. I still think this team is built to win.
Hey, by the way, they're 20-12 against teams above 500. So 20-12 to me sounds like
pretty good.
A pretty good record. Yeah. And here's the thing. People will be outraged if the Mets aren't winning against teams that are like the Rockies, right?
100%.
So at least they're taking care of business and they're instilling confidence. They're winning in different ways. Jeff McNeil is contributing. Like those are all, think about a big picture, because in October, that's going to matter big time. That's going to be a huge deal. Carlos Mendoza learning who he can trust, where he can play guys, giving them reps. The Rockies, basically are allowing you to test out different things. So you should really see it as a positive, I would say. And they are going to be able to take care of business. They are the best team, if not the three best teams in all of baseball.
No doubt. The thing I just can't come to terms with, I don't understand how they're doing it, is this pitching. I don't understand.
I do. Jeremy Hefner.
Yeah,
Jeremy Hefner and their staff, I'm telling you, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. When you talk to those guys, I go in the clubhouse, right? Talk to David Peterson about this. David Peterson, who's having a great year, right? Had a great October, did every role for them. Like these guys have completely bought in. They're playing selfless baseball. They don't care what their numbers are. They just want to go out and do it for the team. That's different.
It is different.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what they're doing so different than the other 29 teams.
Okay, I'll tell you another thing. So the one thing the Tampa Bay Rays do really well, and Kyle Snyder, who leads that coaching staff for the pitchers, is that all they say is throw your best pitch down the middle of the plate. We want you to throw your best pitch as many times as you can. And the Mets have adopted that. They want their guys.
It's that simple.
It really is. It really is. I'm telling you, because think about how much we overthink it. Like when I talk about Baseball Savant, a lot of people are like, no, I don't want to talk about analytics. I don't want to go that deep. That's fine. Like, because the basis of the baseball game, like, is great. You don't have to talk about analytics. You can keep it this simple.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. And that's what the staff is doing. But, like, they care about each other as a person. Like, sometimes people forget, like, these guys are humans. They kind of want to be treated as a human sometimes, not just another number that's being called. And the Mets do a really good job of that. That's why they're getting guys to come and play for them. That's why Clay Holmes is there.
And Sean Manaea coming back, and Frankie Montas.
And Griffin Canning. How about the turnaround? Well, like, Griffin Canning was stinky last year with the Angels. He has been a clunker for his whole career.
So that's where, and we got to take a break, but that at some point we're going to get back to this, because that's the guy that I can't figure out. It's one thing to improve. It's another thing to look like you're five levels better than you were.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.